Live from the ESPN Pensacola studios. It's the Glass Half Full with Jordan Glass. You could be a part of today's show by texting or calling at 850-623-1330. Now, here's Jordan Glass.
But Elijah Moore, it looked like, secured it as he was headed out of bounds. Here's a pick! Intercepted! And that should end the night. McMillan, the other way. Touchdown, Broncos!
Just a tough night last night for Jameis Winston in Monday Night Football against the Broncos. A good night for Jameis Winston, but a tough night for Jameis Winston. Kind of one of those very odd, very weird games where I saw a headline for this game I thought was very poignant. It's a night to remember and a night to forget for Winston. I think that's perfectly said. Perfectly said. I mean, Jameis Winston had a career night, set a franchise record for passing yard in a single game for the Cleveland Browns with 497 yards, went 34 for 58, had four touchdowns. But it was those three interceptions that really kind of were the difference in this game. This is a game that Cleveland should have won. It is those interceptions by Jameis Winston that ultimately cost them that game. There's nothing else really you can point to. You can't say, oh, well, they didn't have this going. The run game wasn't great. No. It was Jameis Winston's three interceptions, two of which was pick sixes. Just like you just heard on that one. That was the final one that gave Denver the 41-32 lead, right? It was 34-32 when that happened. All the Browns had to do was drive down the field, get into field goal range, kick a field goal. You make the field goal. You win the game 35-34. Jameis just trying to force a play, throws a pick, gets returned for a touchdown, and that's ball game. Dave Chappelle said in that Prince skit where he's playing basketball, blouses, game blouses, it's over. I mean, if you're Jameis Winston, you're going to be sick when you go back and watch this game because you're going to realize that you single-handedly cost your team this game. Bo Nix didn't do anything special. It wasn't a bad night, but he didn't do anything special. 18 of 35, 294 yards, a touchdown. He also had two picks in the game. Denver's defense really was the big part for them that helped them win this game. Picking off Jameis Winston three times, taking two of them back for touchdowns. And even Bo Nix said that after the game. Bo Nix was like, yeah, you know, it's crazy that they actually returned two back for a touchdown. And he said it makes it easier on us. We're sitting over here by the heaters, and we don't really have to move. We get to stay by the heaters because they go right back out on the field after a pick six. Definitely that Denver defense that stepped up and played well for them last night. And then Jameis Winston just continuing. Jameis is going to Jameis, right? And that's going to happen in multiple ways. Either he's going to give you an incredible sound bite that's just it's either a very passionate and well-said sound bite, or it's just a goofy sound bite, or it's a mix of both. Or he's going to give it to you on the field as far as Jameis-Jameisoning. And that's what happened last night. And honestly and truthfully, we actually got both last night because I've got a clip from him that we're going to play here coming up in just a second because we're going to get a little more about Jameis Winston and the whole situation, not only with him being in his own way, but also maybe despite the fact that he does get in his own way, are the Browns better with him at the quarterback position? We'll talk about that coming up in just a few minutes. This is the Glass Half Full right here on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. Again, if you want to be a part of the show, 850-623-1330, 850-623-1330. Just, I mean, looking at this game overall, again, Jameis is not a bad quarterback, right? I'm not going to sit here and say that Jameis Winston is a bad quarterback. Jameis Winston can make plays. Jameis Winston won a national championship at Florida State. Jameis Winston won a Heisman Trophy at Florida State. They don't just hand that stuff out. It's earned. You have to be a good player to get to a national championship game, to win a Heisman Trophy. Right? I think that Jameis Winston gets in his own way. My assumption of Jameis Winston is that he is a gunslinger. He has a gunslinger mentality without the accuracy, right? What I mean by that, Brett Favre was a gunslinger, right? Was not afraid to drop back and just heave the ball anywhere on the field. It didn't matter who was there. But Brett Favre had the accuracy. Brett Favre could thread the needle. Brett Favre could get it through that window. Jameis doesn't necessarily have that. And I think that's one of his biggest issues, is that he just does not have that pinpoint accuracy that, look, if you're going to be a gunslinger, you have got to have that type of accuracy. And I think that's one of his biggest problems. It's not that he's a bad quarterback. It's that he tries to do too much. He tries to make the plays. He wants to make the plays. And I think he tries to fit the ball into areas that he doesn't have the accuracy to throw into. Right? We've seen other quarterbacks, not just Brett Favre, we've seen other quarterbacks come in and be a gunslinger, and they have that accuracy. Jameis wants to be a gunslinger, but he just doesn't have it to be able to fit into those tight windows. And this was, as a matter of fact, I will commend Jameis on this. Last night took full responsibility for this loss. And that's a leader, by the way. That is a leader. A leader does that. A leader steps in front of the media and says, this loss was on me. I played poorly. I let my team down. And Jameis did that last night. And he's done that before. Jameis is a talented player. He is a good athlete. He is one heck of a leader. He just gets into his own way. And he's starting to see that. And I think the fact that he's starting to see that is a good sign for him, because that's going to allow him to maybe start doing some things to correct that. This is what Jameis had to say last night after the game.
I know I'm better than this. I know. I'm just praying for the Lord to deliver me from pick sixes. Like, that's not me. Like, a phenomenal game. Offense, do some great things. But I messed it up.
See, that I mess it up right there at the end. He's aware that his interceptions are what cost him this game last night. And some of the things that he was talking about there with the great game from the offense. Browns had over 500 yards of offense. They had almost 30 first downs in this game. They scored 32 points. If you come to me and you show me that stat line right there and say, this is an NFL team in a Monday night football game. They had over 500 yards of offense, almost 30 first downs in the game, and they scored 32 points. I'm going to tell you they won that football game. Because 9 times out of 10, they win that football game with that type of stat line. Jameis knows that his play last night is what cost him this game. And I think that moving forward, you're going to see Jameis be a little bit more controlled with the way he throws the football. I think he's kind of starting to pick up on the fact that he can't just get out there and sling it around. Did that work for him at Florida State? Yeah, again, like I said, he got a Heisman Trophy and a national title. He's got some hardware and a ring for it. But it's not going to work in the NFL. And I think that's kind of been his Achilles heel throughout his career, whether it was at Tampa, whether it was with the Saints, wherever it's been that he's had an opportunity to play in the NFL, he's still tried to play with that same gunslinger mentality that he had at college that worked at Florida State, fine. But it just doesn't work in the NFL, because even if there is a window there and you try to sling the ball in there, that window is going to close up a lot quicker in the NFL than it would going against teams that he played in college. So for me, I think Jameis has got to get out of his own way. And if he can do that, watch out. Watch out. Because I will make the case, honestly and truthfully, I will make the case the Browns are a better team with Jameis Winston as the starting quarterback than Deshaun Watson. And I know, look, I know there's going to be a lot of people that think I'm crazy for that. And I will own up to that. Fine. I'm perfectly fine if you think I'm crazy for that. If you don't agree with me on that, that's why we got the studio line, 850-623-1330. And, of course, we're talking about last night's Monday Night Football game with the Cleveland Browns and the Denver Broncos right here on the glass half full. But, yeah, I think the Browns are better with Jameis Winston at the quarterback position. I mean, you look at it with Deshaun Watson in there, they were what, 1-1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6? They were 1-6 with Deshaun Watson as the starting quarterback. The most points they had scored during that stretch was 18 in that 18-13 week 2 win over Jacksonville. Since Jameis Winston has taken over, they have beaten the Ravens and they've beaten the Steelers. Two pretty good football teams in those games against the Ravens, they scored 29 points. In the win against the Steelers, they scored 24 points. Last night, they scored 32 points. This offense operates a lot better with Jameis Winston in there at the quarterback position than it did with Deshaun Watson. And there was a lot of chatter towards the end of Deshaun Watson before he got hurt. There was a lot of talk about, is this team necessarily fully playing for Deshaun Watson? I mean, the numbers kind of back that up. Oh, we did have a call on the line. I believe that might have been Ronald calling in. So, Ronald, if you want to give us a call back, buddy, we'll definitely get you back on. Sorry I didn't see it in time there, and we got cut off. But, yeah, I think, look, I think the Browns play a little bit better. They're what? They're 2-3 with him in the starter. So, look, it's not super different. It's not a lot better. They're not suddenly a playoff contender. But things are moving in the right direction with the Cleveland Browns with Jameis Winston as the quarterback. And honestly and truthfully, like I said, if Jameis can get out of his own way, I think this could be something special for the Browns with him at the quarterback position. Let's head to the phones now. We got Ronald. Ronald, how you doing, buddy?
Okay, Mr. Jordan Glass, I am cool, brother. First of all, please excuse me, but you got me singing my ass off. The Greatest Showman? Come on, bro. This is the greatest show. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I'm glad you caught that, man.
Yeah, man. Jameis Winston, this Jameis, it's like you said, the guy can't get out of his own way. But what you're seeing is the leader that he is. Look at how these guys have bought into Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston has all the talent in the world, but he's the yin to his own yang. He just doesn't seem to quite understand, dude. You don't have to make the big play all the time. He's a great talent, but what you're seeing is his leadership. This is the same thing he brought to Florida State. He's not the talent that Deshaun Watson is, but the guys have bought into him. Keep Jameis Winston. He is the famous one. Love Jameis Winston. He brought a title to Florida State. You have a good day, sir.
Appreciate it, Ronald. And I look, Ronald coming in with the clutch headlines right there. He is the yin to his own yang. I like that. I like that. I think that is perfectly said for Jameis Winston. And you know what? I think Ronald's spot on with that. He wants to make that big play. He's like, you ever played like a little cousin or somebody in like Madden or NCAA football, and they're constantly just throwing deep every single play? They're not trying to scheme it to what you're doing, right? Like if you keep blitzing, they're not going to run a halfback screen to pop a big play off of that or something like that. They're just going to run deep shots, you know? They're all go, every single play. They're just trying to make a big play and score a lot of points. That's kind of what Jameis is doing inside the NFL. If he can kind of just settle down and understand that he doesn't have to do that, I think Cleveland could have a guy here that maybe they start looking at a situation of, do we really need Deshaun Watson? I know we paid him all this money and we're kind of stuck with him, but if Jameis can get things rolling, and like I said, Jameis is a good football player. He is a good athlete. And kind of to what Ronald was saying there, he's an even better leader. And when you're a leader, your teammates, your players around you, they're going to rally and they're going to play a whole heck of a lot better. That is for sure. It's the Glass Half Full, ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. Sticking with Monday Night Football, I want to switch over now to the Denver Broncos because we owe Sean Payton an apology. I do, at least. When he picked Bo Nix last year in the draft, I was like, you wasted a draft pick, bro. You wasted a draft pick. You probably could have waited and got him further back and maybe even into the second round. You could have still gotten Bo Nix. You're wasting a draft pick. He saw something there that we all didn't, right? He went and did the testing. He did the workouts with Bo Nix. He talked to Bo Nix. He did the due diligence, and he saw something there that we clearly didn't. We should have, though. I mean, the minute Sean Payton showed interest in Bo Nix, we should have kind of perked up to Bo Nix because, I mean, look at the quarterbacks that this guy has coached in his NFL career. I mean, obviously brought Drew Brees in for the Saints. Look at what he did there. Won a Super Bowl, first Super Bowl ever in Saints history. Right there with Drew Brees. Some of the other quarterbacks he coached, Quincy Carter, Vinny Testaverde, Drew Bledsoe. I mean, the guy knows how to evaluate quarterbacks. So let's give him a little bit more credit for that Bo Nix pick. Let's head to the phones now. Caller, how's it going?
How's it going? This is John in Pensacola.
All right, John, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, I know you're talking about something else now, but I was wondering, could I comment on the college football playoff?
Yeah, man, what you got? What's up?
Well, you know, I can see some SEC teams getting in. But I'm looking at the Alabama losses, you know. They got just as big of a loss than they do a win. You know, to lose to a 5-5 Oklahoma and get basically shut out, that's not a playoff team. I mean, I know that they like the Alabama brand, the Alabama name. You know, you look at Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt is a 6-6, you know, finishing out the season, and Alabama lost to them. So with three losses, I just don't see Alabama getting in. Now, maybe Ole Miss or somebody else or South Carolina, but Alabama's losses are just as bad as the win.
John, you are absolutely right on that. Their losses are just as bad as their win. They have the one impressive win on their resume is that win over Georgia. And with the slow starts that we've seen Georgia make throughout the season, the down games that they've had throughout the year, I'm not even sure that's as much of an impressive win as the committee is going to try to make it to be. I completely agree with you. I would much rather see another SEC team that's a 9-3 record right there with them get in over Alabama.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go back to something you said, man, and I think this is why Bama gets in. It's the brand. It's the logo. It's going to bring in money, and at the end of the day, that's what the committee is going to want. It's going to bring in viewership. It's going to bring in interest because I'm going to tell you right now, an Ohio State-Alabama matchup in Columbus is going to bring a lot more interest than an Ohio State-Ole Miss matchup. People that watch ball and no ball would love that matchup between Ohio State and Ole Miss, but it's not going to bring in the ratings that the committee wants.
Exactly. And, you know, we have to ask ourselves, is it about ratings or is it about the hard work that these kids put in? I remember 2 years ago, Charles Woodson said that wins and losses have to mean something. It can't be all about the logo. Wins and losses have to mean something.
They do, in fact, John. Hey, man, I appreciate you calling in, buddy, but we are up against the break, so I'm going to have to let you go, man. But, again, I do appreciate you calling in, John, and man, you are absolutely right on that. It's got to be more about the hard work that these kids are putting in, year out, and getting to that point rather than just the logo or ratings or what type of money can be brought in. We'll take our first time out of the show. When we come back, more of the Glass Half Full right after this.
Hey, if you own or manage a business in the greater Pensacola area, how would you like to get your business in front of men ages 25 to 54? Well, that's who listens to ESPN Pensacola.
Hey!
Okay, men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah.
Excuse me?
And Jill. Whether it be a radio ad with ESPN Pensacola or online through ADX Digital, we can come up with the best solutions for you. Get in front of men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah and Jill.
Woohoo! Yeah!
Just go to our website, ESPNPensacola.com, click on the sales opportunity.
It's the Glass Half Full on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. Now, here's Jordan Glass.
Welcome back in on this Tuesday morning. It's December 3rd, 9:21 here at ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. This is the Glass Half Full. I am Jordan Glass. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you want to be a part of the show, just like we've already had Ronald and John do throughout the first segment of the show, you can do so at 850-623-1330. Again, it's 850-623-1330. Do appreciate you fellows calling in this morning. And if you want to join them, you can text or call. Again, that's studio line 850-623-1330. A couple of programming notes. Tonight we do have some Florida State basketball for you. They will be getting underway at 7:30 tonight, so some Seminole basketball coming your way tonight. And then, of course, we will have coming up Thursday, we'll have War Eagle Weekly starting at 10 a.m. Then on Thursday night, we'll have Westwood One's coverage of Thursday night football between the Packers and Lions. On Friday, we'll have Roll Tide Radio. And then we will have, later on Friday night, the AAC Championship game. Tulane taking on Army. Could have potentially been a big opportunity for Tulane to sneak into a college football playoff spot had they not lost to Memphis on Thanksgiving. So definitely still a lot to play for. They're going to be taking on Army, but we'll see how that game plays out. Again, you can hear it 6 o'clock on Friday night. And then 2:30 on Saturday, we will have the SEC Championship game for you. That's right. The only place you can hear the SEC Championship game here in Pensacola on the radio right here as the Georgia Bulldogs take on the Texas Longhorns. A couple of other breaking headlines here before we get into our topic. Looks like Texans linebacker Azeez Al-Shaair is suspended for 3 games following his hit on Trevor Lawrence. We'll talk more about that coming up a little later on in today's show. But right now, I want to kind of get back to the NFL with Week 13 being over. Want to take a look at some winners and losers from this week of the NFL. Obviously, yesterday was very kind of college football-centric with the rivalry weekend. Lots to unpack there. So kind of wanted to focus on the NFL today. So looking at some weekend winners and losers inside the National Football League. We'll start off with our winners. The Pittsburgh Steelers and Russell Wilson, kind of a twofer here on this one. The Pittsburgh Steelers, because, again, 18 straight seasons with winning records. Just an incredible job that Mike Tomlin has done there year in, year out with that team, making sure that they were above 500 each and every year. That's not easy to do in the NFL, especially for 18 years. That's an incredible streak right there. They did get a win 44-38 over the Bengals on Sunday. Russell Wilson, starting to find that rhythm, starting to find that groove at the right time of the year, right? Obviously, some injury issues early in the season, kind of had to work his way back into that, knock some of the rust off, get some of the confidence back after the last couple of seasons he had in Denver. But he's kind of starting to get back into that rhythm, and we're starting to see Russell Wilson that we saw in Seattle, or at least shades of what we saw from him in Seattle, and that's good news for the Steelers as well. They're 9-3. They lead the AFC North. They've kind of got a stranglehold on the AFC North right now as it is. They've already beaten Baltimore once. They're going to have another chance at doing that, and that's honestly that's something that they seem to do pretty well. Lamar Jackson struggles mightily against the Pittsburgh Steelers, so there's going to be a great opportunity for the Steelers to kind of clinch that that division there and get themselves a little bit higher of a seed in the playoffs than I think a lot of people probably expected coming into this season. So definitely Pittsburgh Steelers, Russell Wilson, a winner from Week 13 in the NFL. Another winner we have, how about Kevin O'Connell, the head coach of the Minnesota Vikings. Vikings are 10-2 on the season. Been one of those surprise teams. Like, you remember the last couple of seasons, the Detroit Lions, they were the team that kind of everybody was surprised at how good they were. Wow, Dan Campbell's really done a great job. That's kind of where Kevin O'Connell is with the Minnesota Vikings. Lots of people surprised that they are 10-2 this year, especially coming into this season. They had the rookie out of Michigan, J.J., was ready. J.J. McCarthy was ready to go as their starting quarterback. Goes down with an injury, and then all of a sudden it's Sam Darnold. What does everybody go? Uh-oh, it's going to be a bad year for the Vikings because of Sam Darnold, his history, his track record of not being a good quarterback, of turning the football over, and he's been everything but that this year. He's been very efficient. He's been a good game manager, and he's protected the football. And because of those reasons, Vikings are 10-2. Now, the only problem with the Vikings is that they have had to win a lot of close games. Now, it's good that they are winning those close games because a team that's going to win a championship is going to have to win those types of games. They have to have the grit and the mentality to win those types of games. But is it sustainable for the Vikings to continue week in, week out pretty much to win like that? That's going to be the big question surrounding the Vikings as we close out the last few weeks, the last four or five weeks of the regular season and get into the postseason. Can the Vikings continue to sustain winning those types of games every single week? So far, it looks like they can. We'll see if that changes as we get into the postseason for sure. It's the glass half full right here on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM, talking winners and losers in Week 13 of the NFL. If you'd like to join the conversation, 850-623-1330, 850-623-1330. Our final winner of the week, Vic Fangio. Because he has coached up one heck of a defense there with the Philadelphia Eagles. I will tell you that right now. You look at the Eagles defense, I think a lot of people were, you know, kind of riding high on some other defenses throughout the NFL season, Baltimore being one of them. Defense, you know, had been playing really well. It's kind of dropped off the last couple of weeks. But that defense was one of the top, and everybody was kind of showing them love. And not a lot of people talking about the Eagles, not a lot of people talking about Vic Fangio's defense. Talking about Nick Sirianni getting into arguments with fans in the stands and things like that, but they weren't really looking at how Vic Fangio had this defense playing. Well, they are now after a pretty impressive win on Sunday and honestly a pretty impressive last few weeks. I mean, you take a look at the Philadelphia Eagles on the season and just how they've been able to play as they've rattled off, what is it? I'm trying to pull up their schedule here to see the exact number of wins they've got in a row. They've got, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I got a computer screen jumped on me. Hold on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 wins in a row. 8 wins in a row, and a big part of that is the way this defense is playing for Vic Fangio. Plus, you take a look at the way they played Sunday, shutting down Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry in this Ravens offense, really kind of limiting them in that big win that they had. So they're 10-2 on the season. They lead the NFC East. They're definitely one of the top seeds in the NFC. You got to give credit to where credit's due. Vic Fangio's got this defense playing really good for Philly right now. Our losers for Week 13, just a couple of them. Kirk Cousins is where we're going to start. I like Kirk Cousins. I'm a big Kirk Cousins fan. I think he's a good dude on and off the field. I think he's a solid quarterback. He's come in and he's helped a lot of teams, including what we were talking about with Minnesota earlier. He did a lot of good for them in his time there. He had been doing good for Atlanta. I don't know if maybe he's banged up. I don't know if maybe there's some kind of injury that we don't necessarily know about. Maybe there's, you know, some other things happening. But the Falcons have lost 3 in a row now. And in that 3-game stretch where they've lost 3 in a row, Kirk Cousins has 6 interceptions, 4 of which came this past weekend against the Chargers. Just an abysmal game for him in Week 13. Could not have gotten any worse. And for a guy that's known for the phrase, "You like that?" No, we do not like that. 4 interceptions is just a bad game. 3 straight losses for the Falcons, and that's why Kirk Cousins is our first loser of Week 13. Our next loser, New York football. Not just the Jets, not just the Giants, New York football in general. The Jets had a 21-7 lead over the Seahawks, come back, lose that game 26-17. So they get outscored there in the second half of that game, and they fall to 3-9 on the season. Now they're sitting there questioning whether they should start Aaron Rodgers. You know, should they play him the rest of the way? It's, you know, they don't have a head coach. They don't have a GM. And like we talked about on yesterday's show, to the Jets' credit, they are at least trying to do things to make them a better team, right? Unlike the other team that they share that stadium with, they are actually trying to actively get better. Unfortunately, it's just not working for them. They're 3-9, like I said. They have, 1-8 in their last 9 games. So it's... started off the season 2-1. Lots of people kind of looking at it. A lot of promise. Aaron Rodgers coming in there. Should Jets fans get excited? Then like 3 weeks later, we're like, no, they shouldn't get excited. As a matter of fact, they've just fired their head coach. It has been a roller coaster season for the Jets. They were up there at the top of that hill at 2-1, and then they just dropped down that hill. The only problem is they forgot to build the rest of the track to where they can come back up, so they're just staying down there at the bottom, right? So Jets, one of our losers of Week 13, but they're not alone in the state of New York. The Giants are right there with them. Should I really say the state of New York? Because technically they play in Jersey. We're not going to get into that. That's for a different show. The Giants on the year, the reason they're one of our losers in Week 13, honestly, you could just make them a loser for the entire season. Lost 7 straight games. They're 2-10 on the year. They fall to the Cowboys 27-20 on Thanksgiving. They're just a lame duck organization right now. I've said my 10 cents about the New York Giants. I've said why I think they're a horrible organization and just a bad football team right now. You let all your star players walk and go to other teams. You release your starting quarterback to go with a guy who really honestly shouldn't be a second string quarterback in the NFL, but because your team is so poor and pitiful, he is. And then he gets hurt and you've got to go back to Drew Lock, who honestly and truthfully, Drew Lock should have been QB number 2 over Tommy DeVito. But that's just multiple conversations that have already been discussed here on the Glass Half Full. But that is why they are Week 13 losers as well. And then a team that has got a winning record that a lot of people expected to be a little bit better than what they've shown the last couple of weeks. The Baltimore Ravens, they're a loser in Week 13 as well, 8-5 on the season. They got beat by the Eagles 24-19 on Sunday, and they are currently looking up at the Pittsburgh Steelers in that division. They do have an opportunity to avenge that early season loss to them. But again, like I said a little while ago, Lamar Jackson and the Ravens just do not play good against the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's like Ryan Day against Michigan. For whatever reason, just cannot get it done. Just Amber Heard it every single time. We'll take another timeout when we come back. More of the glass half full right after this.
Calling all FSU Seminole fans. Tomahawk Talk is here. Tune in Wednesday from 9 till 10 right here on ESPN Pensacola. 1330 AM 99.1 FM to get the latest on Florida State football. Hear from the experts, the superfans, and even some former players about what's happening on the field, the sidelines, to the locker room. It's your chance to be a part of the conversation and let your war chant out. It's Tomahawk Talk, Wednesday from 9 till 10. Tomahawk Talk, brought to you by the law firm of Gross & Schuster.
Paul Feinbaum, on weekday afternoons after the Rich Eisen Show, 2 to 6 on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM.
It's the glass half full on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. Be a part of today's show at 850-623-1330. Now, here's Jordan Glass.
.37 on this Tuesday morning here at the Glass Half Full on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. Welcome back into the show. I'm Jordan Glass, and of course, you can be a part of today's show. Text or call 850-623-1330, 850-623-1330. Got several different things to talk about here. We got little Steve Sarkisian talking about planting a flag at midfield. We're going to get into the Azeez Al-Shaair suspension. And then, of course, Mario Cristobal making his case. It's lobbying season. You thought lobbying season was over just because we had the election? Uh-uh. It's time for head coaches in college football to lobby to the playoff committee as to why they deserve to be one of the teams led into those final spots. We'll talk about Mario Cristobal's latest push as Lane Kiffin made his yesterday. We talked about that. Today it's Mario Cristobal. Let's get back into it now. Steve Sarkisian made some comments yesterday in his press conference, getting ready for the SEC championship game, met with the media, was asked about the whole planting the flag thing, because obviously Texas beat Texas A&M in Kyle Field, but did not plant a flag in the logo at midfield like we saw with Ohio State and Michigan, like we saw with Florida, Florida State, like we saw with several other games throughout rivalry weekend, because that's just part of rivalry weekend, right? But he came out and he says, Texas, they win with class. It was not the right thing to do, to plant a flag at midfield. Essentially kind of taking a shot there at Florida and Michigan by saying that Texas wins with class, kind of inadvertently taking that shot, saying that they don't, I guess, by comparison. So my thing with this, though, and somebody pointed this out because this got posted on the ESPN Pensacola Facebook page, and somebody made a comment, goes, well, what about Michigan? And I had forgotten about this, so I had to go back and look it up. And sure enough, after Texas beat Michigan earlier this year, what was it, week two or week three? Texas planted a flag on that big giant Maze M there in the big house. So for Steve Sarkisian to start wagging his finger in people's faces and being like, ah, it's classless to do that. We win with class here at Texas. That's not the right thing to do. You shouldn't be doing that. I don't know why Steve Sarkisian in my mind sounds like Snidely Whiplash from Dudley Do-Right, but he does. Ah, you can't plant that flag there, you see? But no, it's like, to me, Sarkisian coming out and saying after Texas has already done this earlier in the season, for him to come out and make this statement, it's like if you come out and you were like, oh, cheaters are terrible human beings. People who cheat in relationships are horrible, all while you're having an affair, right? It's like, homie, you can't accuse people and point fingers at people and call them classless or bad people for doing something you've already done. Good book says, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. I'm sure nobody should be picking up a rock. Steve Sarkisian should definitely not be picking up a rock at this point in time. Your team's already planted a flag at a midfield, bro. You can't come out and say, we win with class. We don't do that when you've already done it. You just can't. Steve Sarkisian, stay out of this. You just, your team's already planted a flag at midfield. You don't have the right to come out and say that you should or shouldn't do it because you've already done it. The glass half full, ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. If you want to be a part of today's show, 850-623-1330. Again, it's 850-623-1330. Texans linebacker Azeez Al-Shaair suspended for 3 games following that hit to Trevor Lawrence on Sunday. Obviously, that hit resulted in Lawrence being carted off the field with a concussion. Lawrence seems to be doing okay. Posted on social media later that night on Sunday that he was back home after kind of going through some testing and everything like that, and seemed to be in good spirits and moving in the right direction with healing and getting better. But, you look at this hit, and I watched it before I came in here to do the show. I wanted to watch it more times. I had already seen it. I didn't see it happen live. I wasn't watching that particular game at that point in time. But I wanted to watch it a couple more times because I really kind of wanted to see the logistics of it. And what I mean by that is sometimes there's these hits where, yes, you look at it and you go, that is clear, blatant, taking a shot at him. That is it's Bush League. That is Bush League play right there. And then there are other times to where it's just, it's a bang, bang situation and there's not really anything that can be done, unfortunately. And I think that's what we have here. I know there's a lot of people that are coming out and that says Azeez clearly was going after him, wanted to knock him out of the game, wanted to hurt him, wanted to harm him. I don't think that was the case, right? I mean, you're talking about a linebacker in the NFL. That's not a small human being. It's hard to just stop on a dime. It's hard to just change your motion at the last second. Trevor Lawrence was running with the ball. Started to pick up the first down, started to give himself up, went for the slide. And yes, in that situation when the quarterback goes for the slide, you've got to back off, right? So if you're a linebacker coming over on a situation like that, the quarterback goes down for a slide, yep, throw your hands up in the air, slow down. That way if you do bump him, the officials can at least see your hands are in the air and maybe they'll see that and go, okay, there wasn't intentional contact, not going to throw the flag. So you do have to pay attention to the quarterback. When he gives himself up and he starts that slide, you cannot touch that quarterback, right? You really can't touch any player who's labeled a defenseless player, but especially the quarterback because they are flag happy when it comes to you touching the quarterback. But also in this situation, I understand where Azeez Al-Shaair is trying to make a play, right? He's trying to make the tackle and stop Trevor Lawrence. So as he's running up and he leans down and starts his launch towards Trevor Lawrence, what would be about his thighs or his midsection, Trevor Lawrence starts the slide. And unfortunately, due to the slide, what would have been Trevor Lawrence's his quads or his midsection for the hit turns into being his head. And it's just an unfortunate situation that not only was that where the contact was made, but obviously it resulted in the concussion to Trevor Lawrence. I don't think Al-Shaair was going after a dirty hit here. I don't think he was intentionally trying to knock Trevor Lawrence out of the game. And he even made a post on social media talking about the hit. And he said, I went up to Trevor before the game and was having a conversation with him and was being cordial with him and told him it was great to see him and that I hope he's doing well and told him good luck in the game today. And he goes, there was no animosity. I have no hate towards Trevor Lawrence. There's no negativity there. So why would I go after him and try to knock him out of the game? And I think that's a fair point. You know, it's not like these two guys don't like each other. I mean, there's definitely some quarterback linebacker duos that can't stand each other. I'm sure there were probably quite a few quarterbacks who did not like playing Sean Merriman. I'm sure there's probably quite a few that don't like playing anybody with Bosa or Watt on the back of their jersey. But I don't think this was a dirty hit. I think this was just an unfortunate bang-bang play that resulted in Trevor Lawrence getting a concussion. I do understand the suspension because if you're the NFL, you're protecting your players. You're trying to send a message and saying, guys, we cannot have this stuff happening in games. It is not good for your health. You have to do a better job of paying attention to what's happening in the play. I get the suspension. I also don't think there was any malice or negative or ill will intent meant by the hit from Azeez Al-Shaair. I really don't. And also, I'm going to say this while we're talking about it. If you're one of these people that are on social media calling him names, derogatory names, telling him that he should go take a long walk off a short pier, essentially, get a life, loser. Get a life. He didn't do that intentionally. It was an accident. It's a glass half full. ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. You want to be a part of today's show, 850-623-1330. Let's move now to Mario Cristobal, because like I said, lobbying season is not over. Just because we had the election back in November, we now have head coaches for college football lobbying. No, not to you and I as fans, but to the playoff committee. They are setting out their resume and they're saying, this is why we should get in. Yesterday, we talked about how Lane Kiffin did that on social media, posted a nice little graphic there on X, basically breaking down and comparing. First, he just assaults South Carolina by just eliminating them altogether. He's like, well, look, South Carolina lost to Alabama and Ole Miss. They're out. All right, don't even look at them. Look at Alabama and Ole Miss as 9-3 teams and compare them up. We beat this team by this many, they beat them by this much. We beat this team by this many, they lost to that team by this many. Fair argument. And honestly and truthfully, if I was a part of the committee, Ole Miss actually would have my vote to get in over Alabama because of one game, Oklahoma. And John was talking about it earlier in the show. I appreciate you calling in, John. You know, he was talking about how, you know, the Alabama virtually got shut out against Oklahoma just a couple of weeks ago. And they did. Managed only 3 points. You know how many small FCS schools scored touchdowns against Oklahoma in Norman on the season? But Alabama with Jalen Milroe couldn't get it done? They lost by 21 to Oklahoma. Ole Miss beat Oklahoma. That right there alone is why, if I'm a member of the committee, I'm saying this is why we put Ole Miss in over Alabama. So I understand Lane's lobbying that he made yesterday. Mario Cristobal's turn now, and he has come out and he has told the committee, go to the facts. Look at the facts. Said in a quote, and this was him talking to WQAM down in Miami. That's the flagship station for the Miami Hurricanes, said, we won 10 games this year and not many teams have. And in our losses, those losses came down to one possession. That's very different resume than the 9-3 teams. Okay, I understand that. But if I'm the committee, here is my bounce back to that. Your two losses were to two unranked teams as far as the college football playoff rankings go. Syracuse and Georgia Tech are not ranked and more than likely probably won't be ranked unless they bump Syracuse in there when we get the new rankings later on tonight because of their win over Miami. But my point is, at the time of the loss, neither one of those teams were ranked. That's not a good thing for you. You've been 1-2 in the last 3 weeks. The committee very much is going to look at this and go, what have you done for me lately? And you know what they are going to see? They are going to see 1-2 in the last 3 weeks of the season and a choke job that cost you the ACC championship game. The entire season, Miami is the favorite. Oh, Miami's going to get to the ACC championship game. They'll win the ACC championship game. They'll be one of the top four teams. Choked two of the last three games of the season, lost to Georgia Tech, lost to Syracuse. On the road in both games, by the way. So why would the committee feel confident with you going on the road and beating a team on the road in the college football playoff if you can't even beat Georgia Tech and Syracuse on the road? It's a valid point, and it's a valid concern for the committee to have. But that 1-2 in the last 3 weeks and screwing yourself out of a chance to play for an ACC championship game, oh, 110% the committee is going to use that against you. all day, every day. The fact that your defense is as bad as it is. Nick Saban likes to have a phrase he likes to use. They ran through our bleeps like bleep through a tin can or a tin horn. That's pretty much anybody that plays Miami outside of Florida in week one. Everybody else was able to have big plays and score points against Miami. Even in losses, they still were able to have some success offensively against this Miami defense because of how bad they are. So I'm just prepping Miami fans right now because I'm going to go out and I'm going to say it. At 10-2, prepare to be this year's FSU. Right? Last year, FSU, 13-0, won the ACC. Everybody's like, wow. They're in the college football playoff. Even without Jordan Travis, we should put them in. The committee said, no. Without Jordan Travis, they're not getting in. I'm telling you right now, yes, your resume is better than 9-3 teams, but there are other 10-2 teams that are vying to get into those final spots of the playoff, like an Arizona State, that you need to seriously be worried about. Because honestly and truthfully, if I'm the committee and head-to-head will matter, they will look at what happens if we put these teams head-to-head. If they fix it to where Arizona State had to play Miami in like a play-in game. Honestly and truthfully, I'm going Arizona State. You want to know why? Arizona State's defense is not world beaters. They're not that great, but they're still better than Miami. So for Mario Cristobal to get out there and say, go to the facts. Mario, I don't know if you want them to go to the facts because the facts prove that maybe you shouldn't get into that top 12. Maybe you should get jumped by an Arizona State or somebody else who's 10-2 as well. Just saying, be careful when you're telling people, go to the facts, look at the facts. Sometimes the facts don't always play in your favor. We'll take our final time out. When we come back, we will wrap things up with your headline roundup right after this on The Glass Half Full on ESPN Pensacola.
This is Wendy with Barbary Plumbing wishing you a safe holiday season. Remember, please don't drink and drive.
Hi, this is Brandon Cherry.
And Taylor Cartwright.
We're the owners of the Culver's here in Pensacola and Milton. Just wishing everybody happy holiday season.
Happy holidays, everyone.
Hi, this is James Zirkel with Seville Power and Lawn Equipment. Wishing you happy holidays.
Ho, 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 ho. Merry Christmas. Ho, ho, ho.
Monday night, Thursday night, Sunday night.
318!
This is your home for every primetime NFL game. ESPN Pensacola.
It's The Glass Half Full on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. Be a part of today's show at 850-623-1330. Now, here's Jordan Glass.
Wrapping things up here on this Tuesday morning. Of course, we've got Greeny coming up next at the top of the hour. Stay tuned for that. I'm sure he'll have more on the Azeez Al-Shaair suspension, and that is actually where we will start today's headline roundup. As we always do to close out the show, we take a look at all the top headlines from around the world of sports. Texans, Azeez Al-Shaair suspended for 3 games following his hit to Trevor Lawrence on Sunday that resulted in Lawrence receiving the concussion, so he'll serve that suspension. And, well, we'll see. We'll see. There might be an appeal. Who knows? We'll have to find out on exactly what the final verdict is going to be there. Jerry Jeudy, 9 catches for over 200 yards for the Cleveland Browns in the loss on Monday Night Football, making his big-time return back to Denver after being traded from the Broncos to the Browns earlier this year in the spring. San Francisco 49ers, man, you got a feel for the 49ers. Just continues to get worse for them. They lose not one but 2 running backs. Christian McCaffrey on the IR. Jordan Mason on the IR. It is going to be very tough for this run game now for the 49ers because Jordan Mason was the guy that when Christian McCaffrey had the tendonitis of the Achilles all throughout the early part of the season and he was on IR for, like, what, the first 8 weeks of the year, it seemed like? Jordan Mason was the guy that stepped up for this team big time. And they don't have either one now. Brock Purdy a little banged up. You finally getting George Kittle close to being healthy. But Brock Purdy gets banged up. Now you lose both of your 2-star running backs. Definitely going to be – I feel like somebody put a curse on the 49ers this season. All of the injuries, what happened with Ricky Pearsall getting shot in that robbery attempt. I just feel like somebody, and I'm looking at the Kansas City Chiefs right now, somebody put a curse on the 49ers. No, I'm kidding with the Chiefs stuff. But seriously, there's some kind of bad voodoo hanging over the 49ers right now in San Francisco. Florida Atlantic hires Texas Tech offensive coordinator Zach Kittley to be their next head coach. He will be the youngest head coach in the FBS. And Alabama opening as betting odd favorites to be that team that sneaks into the college football playoff. Saints Taysom Hill out with an ACL, so he will miss the remainder of the season for the New Orleans Saints. That is going to do it for today's show. Thank you so much for tuning in. We will be back tomorrow with more of the Glass Half Full. Greeny coming up next right here on ESPN Pensacola. Have a great Tuesday.